Haben Girma is a deaf-blind lawyer and Skadden Fellow with Disability Rights Advocates in Berkeley. She was born to Eritrean-Ethiopian parents who moved to the U.S. so their children could have a better education. Haben's debut activist movement started right here in Portland at Lewis and Clark College, where she rallied to have access to the cafeteria menu. This experience inspired her to pursue Harvard Law School. Haben was prominently featured at the White House celebrations of the 25th anniversary of the ADA. After returning home, we chatted by phone and real-time Braille captioning. Well, again, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me.
Absolutely. I know I have a unique story, and I would love to help the community as much as possible. And if sharing that story is helpful, then it's my honor to be able to do that.
And so, speaking of the 25th anniversary, you were recently invited to give the opening remarks at the White House celebration. And this included not only introducing the president and vice president, but there's a video of President Obama communicating with you on this real-time Braille captioning service and giving you a hug at the end. So tell us about this incredible experience.
It took me a long time to feel really comfortable communicating and connecting with people in a manner that's not mainstream, that's very different from most people. And seeing the President of the United States and his staff treat people, engage and connect with people with dignity and respect means a lot for our country, and it does mean that we've come a long way. There's still more to be done. There's still a lot of unequal access to opportunities. There are a lot of deafblind individuals who don't have the resources to have the technology I have. And that needs to change. But I think my recent interactions with President Obama and being able to use my keyboard and Braille display to connect and have a conversation really highlights how technology and positive attitudes towards disability and a willingness to use that technology can empower people with disabilities.
And none of it seemed awkward, or actually everything seemed very seamless and everybody was very excited. And
it took a lot of work to get to that point. And all the opportunities I've had have been a result of advocates working for years to pass the ADA in the first place and to make it real and make it actually open doors and give people with disabilities opportunities. So I'm really, really honored to be able to showcase how the ADA can make that promise of equality real.
So I wanted to look a little bit at your life story as far as the intersection of race and ethnicity and disability as a deaf, blind, Eritrean, Ethiopian American woman. Did you ever struggle to reconcile a balance of cultures or feeling included in any of these communities?
So I belong to many, many, many different communities, and I consider that a blessing. There are definitely individuals in each community that make it difficult to be part of that community, but there are also individuals in each community that make me very grateful to be part of that community. So I also recognize that within the Eritrean community, there's lots of diversity, and within the deaf community, there's lots of diversity. So I try not to let stereotypes or individuals with negative perceptions affect my participation in cultural communities, whether it's based on race or ethnicity, or whether it's based on disability.
The people who are involved in disability services or providing accommodations, did you ever feel that they had an appropriate cultural sensitivity to your experiences?
That's an interesting question. I think most people who provided disability services when I was growing up were white, a lot of white women. I don't think that raised any issues. I didn't feel like they were insensitive. part of that may be that I grew up in the Bay Area, where people are more aware of diversity and cultural backgrounds. And I remember many of my teachers for the visually impaired being very interested in my Eritrean heritage and the stories and food of my family. So maybe I was just lucky to have people who were very sensitive to cultural issues.
This raises another concern or question that I had regarding the Americans with Disabilities Act of 1990. As you know, I've seen some frustrations that this is seen as a mostly white movement, and that people of color who were involved maybe are not getting quite the recognition. Do you have any thoughts about this?
That raises really important questions of why people of color in the disability movement are not receiving recognition. It sort of highlights issues of unequal access to resources and unequal access to opportunities. And what can we do to change that? What can we make sure that everyone has access to opportunities and that people of color in the disability movement get recognition, just like members of the disability community who are not people of color?
Haben Gurmat, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me and for joining me on Intersections Radio.
Thank you for letting me share my story and for being patient and organizing all of this.
That was Haben Gurmat, Skadden Fellow with Disability Rights Advocates in Berkeley. This was also an abbreviated interview, and you can catch the extended version online at intersectionsradio.wordpress.com. I'm Sarika Mehta, and this is Intersections Radio.